Yes, you're listening to Sports Day for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. Well, cricket hasn't been immune to the ravages of the coronavirus, and like every other sport in the nation and in the universe, it's had to make its fair share of changes. And the BBL itself, Jimmy, has really had to make some changes. To talk about that, Alistair Dobson, the head of the BBL, joins us on the line. Welcome to you, Alistair. It's been a pretty difficult time for everybody right throughout the sporting calendar, but you've had to make some changes to get this season away. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, g'day, Jared. G'day, Jimmy. Good to speak to you both again. I think, yeah, as you said, no different to any other sport. I think the landscape around Australia has changed a lot, even during the course of the BBL season with different borders shutting and opening along the way. So we've had to make some changes as we go.
And the biggest one, of course, is that games in Sydney are now no longer, and they're headed to Canberra. And where else are they going to? Canberra and somewhere else? Adelaide.
Yeah, we moved. Yeah, that's right. We switched a few more into Canberra, who've been a great host of BBL matches this season, and then four more games into Adelaide. And I think both of those grounds are, you know, probably two of the best T20 grounds in the world and can cope with those extra games. And it's really unfortunate we couldn't get BBL matches into Sydney. But I think the challenge we have with multiple sort of border movements and ongoing travel, getting into Sydney is one thing. But as we know, getting out of Sydney is a different story at the moment.
Oh, so big weekend for BBL. They're returning to Melbourne, but the way the Melbourne sides are going at the moment, maybe they can stay away because they're struggling at the moment, the Stars and the Renegades.
Yeah, I suspect both teams are, well, I know they're both really looking forward to getting back into Melbourne and playing in front of their home fans. They're the last couple of clubs to be able to do that this season. Most of the rest have had a chance to play in front of home crowds. And yeah, I know they're both looking forward and they need a few wins.
And can they have up to 15,000 people, is that right?
Yeah, both venues, the MCG and Marvel Stadium, have got capacities of 15,000. And we certainly thank the Victorian government for their support in getting these games on, because I know everyone's really excited about playing there. So still tickets available, but yeah, 15,000 capacity at both venues.
You guys took a big risk with some new rule changes, X Factor, Bash Boost, Power Surge. Some people calling it Mickey Mouse or gimmicky, but it's actually added a fair bit of interest to the game.
Yeah, I think we went in with a really clear objective around trying to add some strategy and certainly add to uncertainty of games and keeping games alive longer. And I think all the rules that we brought in have in some way delivered that. I think, you know, the Power Surge has been really popular and adds lots of discussion. I think the Bash Boost is coming into its own towards the end of the season when every single point will count. And I think, you know, the X Factor was one that we weren't sure exactly how to go, but I think we've seen a number of games where it's added interest and swung a couple of games in different directions.
Have you got any feedback from the players and the teams on them so far?
Yeah, we're in constant touch with that, as well as with the clubs, as well as our broadcasters and fans. We'll do a much more detailed review at the end of the season. I'd like to think it becomes an annual process of assessing and making changes where required. I think, you know, this is a good start with these three innovations. Whether we keep all three or not will depend on lots of sort of consultation at the end of the season. But you know, so far we're happy with the impact they've had.
You would have had plenty of feedback, all unsolicited, I'm sure, on the lack of a DRS. We might as well add our two bobs worth. It seems to me that it's a part and parcel of cricket and umpiring decisions. And as I speak, this is one of the all-time great runouts, Jimmy, behind us, that actually was a complete debacle, but they got the ball, they got the job done.
Oh, the one in the Scorchers Thunder game.
Indeed, it was quite amazing. We're seeing about 14 replays of it. But the DRS, now, I know it's economically probably a little bit difficult, but it's got to be brought in the short term, surely.
Yeah, I think economics is one part of it, Jared. I wouldn't deny that, as well as you know, the pace of the game. And I think the BBL is certainly designed to be fast and as minimal disruptions as possible. That's been one of the considerations, you know, historically around DRS and holding the game up. But I think, you know, we've obviously had lots of discussion and debate this year about something coming in. I think if we were to bring something in next year, I think one thing I would say is it will have to be very BBL in its nature. I don't think we will just automatically bring in the same system or process as international cricket. BBL is unique, and we'd certainly want to keep that flavour, whether that's different technology or different, you know, a different model. But, you know, certainly something we'll look at. I think our umpires have done an incredible job in the same trying conditions that our players have been in hubs and, you know, away from home for extended periods. I couldn't talk more highly of the job they've done. That said, if there's ways we can continue to improve it, we absolutely will.
Can I put this to you? And it's not so much an issue in the BBL because we don't have it, but I hear a lot of commentators have a crack at the DRS because it slows a test match down. Now, half the time in a test match, you're asleep, and sometimes you only wake up when there's an appeal and the DRS is actually being processed. To me, it's the complete opposite to what I hear a lot of the criticism. And it's actually a spike of interest, something that actually gets everybody focused rather than slowing the game down. I mean, maybe the DRS would help, certainly helps test cricket for interest, but to me, getting the decision right, the commentators spend the next 5 minutes blowing about it if the decision's wrong.
Yeah, I think on its own that those moments when there's a review are interesting and something you can talk about. I think I'm talking in the context of the overall duration of a BBL match, which is designed for kids and families, you know, often come into their first game of cricket. We're very mindful of how long that game goes for and not only DRS, but other things that may impact the overall duration. So when I talk about the length of the game, it's more the entirety. But yeah, I reckon there's ways we can look at having a review or an umpire review system that doesn't take as long as the full, you know, hotspot and Snicko and the like. So it's something we'll look really closely at.
Alistair, how difficult is it going to be going forward attracting the big international superstars down here like Rashid Khan when all these competitions are popping up around the world, 10 over comps, 100 ball, where they can go for 2 weeks and make just as much money as playing 6 weeks here?
Oh, I think we've shown this year, Jimmy, that you know, the quality of the overseas players that we've had in the BBL this year on our analysis is the strongest we've had in a number of years. I think what it shows is the appeal of playing in the BBL is absolutely still there for these players, and whether that's, you know, the weather and the conditions and the crowds and the stadiums they play in. So if anything, this year has actually you know, strengthened our belief that the BBL is a you know, a really attractive competition for these players to come in. Clearly, we have to stay competitive, you know, in terms of salaries and payments. I think, you know, we're able to work closely with the ACA this year in adding a third overseas player to list, which has added a heap of interest and quality to the competition. I think we're in really good shape to continue to bring these players in. And Rashid Khan's a great example of players that just bring that X factor in, if you like. You know, and they can't talk more highly of the BBL and want to come back again.
Just by way of interest, Alistair, do you negotiate contracts in USD or AUD? Because if it was in AUD, a lot of these guys would have got about a 15% pay rise over the last 6 weeks with the dollar going so well.
Yeah, well, contracts are negotiated at club level, Jared. I think the salary cap's in Australian dollars, but I'm sure depending on where the players are coming from, that it's negotiated in different ways. And I think, as I said, being competitive is really important, and whether that's how long they come out for, how much they get paid, other opportunities the players have when they're here, and I think we're in good shape there.
You would monitor this, certainly those at Fox Cricket would monitor it. The impact of the Melbourne sides being on the bottom of the ladder from a ratings perspective.
Well, I think for any competition, you want all your teams really competitive, whether that's AFL, NRL, or BBL. You want every team thinking, or every fan thinking, their team can win on any given night. So whether it's the Melbourne teams or others, you certainly want everyone competitive. At the same time, it goes without saying that, you know, your teams out of Melbourne and Sydney, you know, probably draw bigger audiences to the game. So we want those teams doing well. But, you know, it's about close games that go right to the last over, if not the last ball, is the critical bit.
Did I hear correctly, next year there's a chance for a game on Christmas Day while George's talking about ratings?
Oh, it's a discussion that comes up every year, Jimmy. I think there's lots of people think that it'd be great to have a game on Christmas Day and something to watch. At the same time, there's so many considerations around players and staff and broadcasters and families that want to do other things, you know, do the traditional things on Christmas Day. I think it's an interesting debate that we have every year, and every year we think about it, and I dare say we'll do it. We'll think about it again for next season.
Don't think about it too long. It's a family day. Surely we can have one that's over and above cricket or football, for that matter.
Yeah, there's absolutely a strong view around that, Jared. I wouldn't deny that, and I think it'd be certainly a very big call if we were to play on Christmas Day. It would certainly not something we've done in the first 10 years of the BBL. I think it would take something significant for that to change.
Now, I'm just trying to get this article up, so bear with me, Alistair, because I thought it was quite a challenging article. I didn't really agree with it, and it goes to the notion of whether cricket is a job or whether cricket is sport and part-time job, if you like. But it was... I'll come up with the author before we get off air. But the premise of the story was, cricketers are at work, you shouldn't have to put up with abuse. Now, to put it into context, I don't think anybody thinks that racial abuse or homophobic abuse, etc., is justified in any era. But I get really annoyed when I hear people sort of saying that you can't have a crack at players because it's a workplace environment. It's not a workplace. I know they get paid for it, but it's a sport and people pay to have an emotional attachment. I'm not a barracker, I've got to say, and wasn't even a barracker when I was a younger person. I used to be an observer at cricket, so I don't get emotionally involved. And there's no doubt that emotional barracking can upset the situation for a lot of people, but when somebody tries to justify a lack of emotional barracking because it's a workplace, I get a little bit annoyed at that sort of assessment of it.
Well, I think sport's an emotional thing by its definition, and we want our fans to be emotionally invested in their clubs and in their players and coming along and cheering. I think the key is respect and doing it in a way that's respectful and positive towards your own team. As opposed to necessarily, negative towards the other team, and respect is the key. And I think from a BBL perspective, our priority is it's a family and kid focused, event, and we want to make sure we really protect that in a BBL sense, that people can come along and feel safe and enjoy what is world renowned as a family friendly experience. And I think at the end of the day, there's always emotion in when you follow your team. And if you do it in a respectful way that's supportive of your team, I think we can all live with that.
Along those lines, this particular person, I'm still struggling to find her name, but, I mean, you follow that case, you can say, well, you should ban the boo.
Oh, I'm probably not going to get into that territory, Jared, necessarily. But as I said, if you're emotionally invested in your team and you're supporting your team, and you're cheering them on in a way that is encouraging and respectful, I think that's the key.
Appreciate your time, Alistair, and good luck for the rest of the season as we come to the climax, and let's hope it's a great finals campaign.
Thanks, Jared. Thanks, Jimmy.
Alistair Dobson, head of the BBL. Is it a workplace environment, Jimmy, or is it something sort of a little bit more convoluted than that?
Well, most workplace environments don't have your desk bug, do they?
True.
So there's the difference already.
You've got a stump, Mike.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, we lean over a desk and talk into a mic, but I'd say 99.9% of people don't go to their desk and have their laptop with the mic on so everyone can hear in the office, do they?
No, I mean, I just get frustrated. And it's the same with AFL football, so it's a workplace. Yeah, we know you're getting paid for it and you're getting paid big money.
There's no work cover.
But most people don't also have to put up with... most people at their work environment don't actually have people pay to see them work.
Or heckle them.
Or, well, see, so...
Can you imagine John from accounts when he's punching in his last entry? Boo, John! Exactly. Go home!
I don't think anybody's entitled to pay their $5 to get in and then think that they've got a free hit anybody, anywhere. That's not the issue. But the issue is, I guess, the view of former players who think it's an exclusive workplace. I mean, you could desensitise things to such a degree that no one will want to turn up. What's the Crown? It's a brand new digital harness racing show Thursday nights via SEN's app. And for Morbulson Homes, we have Western Bulldogs young gun, Bailey Smith, to join us next. And my understanding is that Bailey Smith has got the third most amount of Instagram followers in the AFL, Jimmy.
There you go.
Second only to you and Beck Judd.
I don't think Beck and I play football anymore. So.
Well, but you're associated. Bailey Smith to join us, surely.